This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we're off and running here on Thursday, February the 26th, 2026. We hope that you are having a wonderful, wonderful day. We're going to be diving into the Word of God. We've been talking about the compassion of God and been highlighting this week that He's absolute compassion and that, you know, it is something it motivates him. You know, not that God needs motivating the way that we do. You know, the alarm goes off of a morning and I was like, no, I'm not motivated yet. and then, you know, time goes on a little bit and say, okay, now we're motivated. Let's get up and get after. God's not like that. But I do want you to know that His compassion, His absolute compassion, it is at the heart of everything He does. So we see it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So, we're going to be looking at that. We're going to be, in Psalm 111, because what you're going to see at the end of Psalm 111 is something that many people who fixate on the love of God, they do not connect it with the other aspects of God's being, and we want to make sure that we show that in the proper context. You know, this has been a cold winter. There's been some extremely cold temperatures. There's been extreme wind chills. There's been prolonged periods of cold, and maybe your landscaping has borne the brunt of that. And if that's the case, the folks at Treasure Your Landscape and Space Coast Nursery may be a great resource for you to help get your yard back in the appearance that you're looking for, so that you can enjoy the beautiful spring temperatures that we are anticipating here in the coming weeks. Treasure Your Landscape, their phone number is 321-749-1432. They're a licensed and insured family business. They're based here in Brevard County. Got 20 years of experience in the landscaping business. They know what thrives here. They know whether your plant is in shock. They also know if your plant is got to be replaced. And so they have a tremendous amount of expertise that they bring to your project. They have a full array of products, putting greens, premium putting greens, artificial turf, landscaping services, paver installations, managing drains and downspouts, the water features, landscape lighting, landscape repair. They've done some sprinkler repair for me. They have done rust prevention installations. They have worked on my irrigation pumps. And look, they do a great, great. They installed drip lines for me where that would have been great. And so if your landscape has been traumatized by the colder temperatures of winter, they may be able to provide some suggestions and some solutions. Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432. They can help get your landscape back into condition that you will treasure. Also, Space Coast Nursery, Monday through Friday, they are, or Monday through Saturday, they're open 8 to 5. They're at 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. Their phone number there is 321-452-5565 if you're looking to replace some plants that maybe said, "Burr, it's cold, I'm going south for the winter." So we are grateful that Treasure Your Landscape, they love Jesus, they love the Refresh Radio program, and they may be a great resource for you this coming spring. Psalm 111. So we focused here on verse number 4. He, God, has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. We dropped down to verse number 9. That's things that we have talked about. The one aspect we haven't talked about from this particular psalm is verse number 10. And it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever." Now, I want to take you over to the right a few pages, depending on how large your print is, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And it says there, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So we see here that the reverential awe of God is a foundation point. It's the starting blocks for the comprehensive skills we're going to need to navigate life. The Bible is very clear that there are two types of wisdom. There is wisdom from heaven, and there is wisdom from the earth. There is the spirit of wisdom, and then there's wisdom that is in rebellion to God. And I've made this statement. It's an observational statement, and it is this, that many people treat living by faith and living by wisdom or knowledge, they treat those as oppositional lifestyles. When the Bible makes it very clear, at least to me, that we are called to live by faith, and we're called to live by wisdom, not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom that comes from heaven, wisdom that comes from the one who knows all things, wisdom and knowledge that comes from the one who has the ability to do all things, and the one who understands things that we have not even begun to grasp yet. And so the foundational point of that is having a right relationship with God. It doesn't, our relationship with God does not come out of the knowledge and the wisdom that we have. Instead, it is inverted. Having the proper relationship with God impacts our wisdom and our knowledge and our understanding, our discernment. It renews our mind. It causes us to have a mind that prioritizes the things that God prioritizes, and he knows how life is supposed to function best. So I wrote some things down here, and by the way, there are multiple references where it talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. All of those things are great, and again, They're complementary. It's not just one or the other. So where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that means that it is the ability or discernment to understand. So knowing something is very important. Knowing what to do with it is also very important. So if you look in Proverbs chapter 1 there, you will see that Solomon presents as a contrast to the beginning of knowledge, that where that is the course of a godly person, a person who knows God, a person who's got the wisdom of God, a fool. And by the way, when the Bible says we're not supposed to call anybody a fool, that doesn't mean that there are not foolish people. It means we do not get to use ourselves as the standard of identifying foolish behavior. But God does. So the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, not just in his mouth, but in his heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So he lives as if there's no accountability, that there's no absolute truth, that there is no eternity, that there are no eternal rewards or eternal consequences. And because he said that in his heart, those sorts of things will come out of his mouth. I know people who profess God with their mouth, but they live as if there is no God. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to live that way. I believe that as believers, we say, God, if I need you to save me and forgive me of my sins, I not only need you to be my Lord and Savior on the first day of our relationship, I need you to be my Lord and Savior on every day of our relationship. So in this verse, we see that the antonym or the contrast to the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge is people who do not acknowledge God. They despise wisdom and they despise instruction. They don't want to be taught. Now, I have found this. Everybody is going to learn one way or the other. You can either learn from the still small voice of God. You can learn from seeing what happens in other people's lives. You can learn from godly pastors and teachers. You can also learn from the school of hard knocks. And what I have found is that the tuition at the school of hard knocks is much more expensive than what most people are willing to pay. They regret enrolling whenever it comes time to pay the tuition. And God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to learn from a relational dynamic with Him, where we are not fighting against Him as our Heavenly Father, but instead we are honoring Him as the Lord God Almighty, who's adopted us into His household of faith. He knows the family business, which is redemption and forgiveness and advancing the kingdom of God. He knows the business. He knows the logistics. He knows timing. He knows how important obedience is. And so there's no one better to learn the business of the kingdom of God. There's no one better to learn from than from Him. And it comes from having a reverential predisposition to who he is. By the way, I forgot to mention our youth service starts tonight, 6:30. It started at 6 before, found out 6:30 worked better. So we've moved that starting time to 6:30 to 7:30. If you're 7th grade through 12th grade, we would love to have you come out and be a part of that. So if knowledge is ability and discernment to and understanding, by the way, I will say this, there is some overlap here, much the same way that when you start talking about soul and spirit, there is some overlap. I would say in that aspect that there's distinction, because the Bible says that God is able to separate between soul and spirit, between the mind, the will, the emotions, and the spirit. And sometimes there's some overlap there between the soul and our body, because sometimes if there's something going amiss physiologically, it can impact the way that we think. I would also say that there's some overlap with the spirit, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so there's some overlap there. It's not, okay, this is hard and fast here, and there's no interaction with the other two aspects of our nature. I don't believe that's true. Much of the same is what we see here with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is defined as the technical skill, the experience, the wisdom, the shrewdness, and the ability to teach. So we had a listener to the Refresh Radio program, and he loved this program. He listened. He couldn't attend services, but he listened. He was a financial contributor to the church, and he and I had several conversations. I would go and check on him. He's like, look, this is my church and you're my pastor. And so because that was the mindset, then I did my best to provide pastoral care. I visited him when he was in the hospital. I visited him when he was in a nursing home. I'm not called just to be a preacher. I'm called to be a pastor. And one of the things that he had shared in our years that we interacted was that he had been involved in construction, and he had some problems with his eyes to the point that he couldn't do what he had done his entire life. But he made this statement. He said, I may not be able to do what I used to do, but I still know everything that I used to know, and I can share that wisdom with anybody who has the ability to do, but they don't have the knowledge. So it's not that we just need knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. But we're not here about inflating ourselves. We're here realizing that our goal is to live the life that God wants us to live, to do the things he wants us to do, and to say the things he wants us to say. That's what our goal is. And he includes us because he is a God who's absolute compassion. So at some point in time, we all tend to reach a stage where David himself reached, King David. King David showed up on the scene after Samuel had anointed him to be the future king. We then see David showing up on the battlefield, delivering some cheese sandwiches to his brothers as Goliath is coming out to make his morning taunt. And the next thing you know, David is feeling moved by God, moved by faith, to go out and slay the giant. And he does. But David did not stay a teenage boy all of his life. And he ended up, once he became king, he surrounded himself with some mighty men. And on one particular day, David found himself in a battle where he was being overwhelmed physically. And when you're overwhelmed physically on the battlefield with an enemy, that means you're at the brink of death. And one of his mighty men came and rescued him. And they said this, "We don't need you to go out onto the battlefield with us anymore. We need you to do what God has called you to do. Let us do what God has called us to do." And so that's wisdom. That's David, before he passed away, he passed on to Solomon the plans for the temple. He gave a charge to Solomon. He gave him all of that information. And it also talks about here that we have a good understanding, have all those who do it or do his commandments. So don't tell me how well you know God if you're not walking in obedience to his word. Don't try and impress me with your wisdom if you don't understand that our actions are supposed to line up with the confession of faith that comes out of our mouth. Here, good understanding, when I read this definition, it brought me back to a question that I had posed to me several years ago when I was on a missions trip. So let me tell you, first of all, good understanding means that you're a person who walks in obedience to God's commandment. It means that you have insight. There's a couple of other definitions, and one of them I'm going to save for later. And I can't read my writing there on the second one. So when I was on this missions trip, there were some people that we ran into at a restaurant as we were getting ready to fly back home. And the conference had ended, and he said, "What is your definition of success?" And I gave him an honest answer, because one of the meanings of success in the Old Testament is that God pushes us. God is the driving force in our life. What is it that God is directing you to do? And when he's directing it, you're in compliance, which I think that's the word that I can't quite read my writing there. And so success is God pushing us where he wants us to go, needs us to go, and we're not fighting. we're moving forward as he moves us to what challenges he has in front of us. The word understanding, it also means success. It also means success. I came to a realization here a few weeks ago. I was having a conversation with my wife, and we've been at our church for over three decades, 33 years. And there's been a lot of mega ministries that have arisen since we started, you know, and people, I've seen churches come and they grow, and then the next thing you know, the pastor leaves and it falls apart. And a lot of times, if you're not careful, you can beat yourself up and say, what is it that I'm not doing right? And come to find out that many times the things that are looking successful by the world standard are built on a faulty foundation where there's either deception or there's a lack of character. I'm not saying in all cases. Please don't think that I am saying that. But sometimes I've compared myself with people who later on weren't found to be in private everything they were declaring to be in public. And so I've adopted this mindset, and that is, God, I do not want to be successful by the world standards if it means that I bring shame and disrepute to your name, Merit Assembly of God, or my testimony, or at the expense of my family. I want to be successful the way that God defines success. And here's what the simplest definition of success that I can give you is: that you know God, that you understand he is worthy to be worshiped, that you can't do anything without him, that it's only because of who he is that we get to go to heaven. It's because of God's word and God the Holy Spirit that we're empowered to live the life that the world has lied to us and told us that we could never live. And God says, if you'll trust me, if you'll do it my way, you'll cross the finish line, you will finish the faith, and you will receive the reward that is laid up for the believers. Folks, I want to tell you, that's success. You have a great day. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.